SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid, and a very busy Wednesday night it is. We have a lot going on. Two NCAA tournament games here, including this Mount St. Mary's and American Classic that we have going on. Everybody loves these 16 seed play-in games. Great game last night. We need this game to slow down a little bit. We'll tell you why in a moment. Of course, Xavier and Texas are going to be playing later on. There's lots of NIT tonight as well, if you are so inclined, including a Carver and Lisi favorite, the Anteaters, UC Irvine, against Northern Colorado later on in the National Invitational Tournament. So you have that. There's a ton of NBA tonight. It'd be nice if Obi Toppin hit a few threes. That would be helpful, including some late-night games. We'll see what we can uncover with those. But obviously, it is mostly the brackets tonight for us, that's for sure, with the tournament starting in full swing tomorrow. Carver, sans Lisi here. Mike Carver here with you, sans Joe. Joe out on assignment. Of course, he will be on here in this time slot the next couple nights, along with KW. As they'll be doing some Bracket Central with you. They're going through all the games and get you hooked up. I'll be on during the afternoon games with Scotty tomorrow. So lots to do here on the grid the next few days as it comes to the NCAA tournament. So no Joe tonight. What does that mean? We got you covered with a lot. Brady Cannon, who's been with me every Wednesday night when Joe's not here, will give us the picks. We've got the Valspar teeing off in the morning outside of Tampa, the Copperhead course at Innisbrook. We'll get some selections from Brady. We have Coach Young later this hour as well. We'll do full bracket dive with him. Gentleman George Kurtz in the last hour. Several things to kick around with him as well. So a very busy Carver and Lisi here, as we like to say on Wednesdays, Carver and sometimes Lisi. That's right. Carver and sometimes Lisi, because he's obviously, you know, he ain't around tonight. But then here's what's happening. We talked about this first four in Dayton. We have Mount St. Mary's, champions of the MAC, against American, the Patriot champions. They're at the under 16 timeout in the first half. And this game has been on a blazing pace here. Now, this game closed at, let me get you the exact number here. Game closed at 133.5. 133.5 this game closed at. Well, the live number right now, 159.5 with just under 16 minutes to go. 56-48, Mount St. Mary's, the Mount, has the lead on American, who lost one of their best players in the first half. So that's not a good scene for them. But they just continue to hammer away here with these three. I mean, American hits another three, 56-51. Might nibble. It was 8.5 a moment ago. Probably should have nibbled a little bit on American, because is Mount St. Mary's really going to blow anybody away? But we'll see if we can get that now. We did, right before the show started, nibble on the live under. Worked out for me and Joe last night in that first game with St. Francis and Alabama State. Barely, but it still worked out for us. So I caught 160.5. 160.5 in a game that was 133 pregame. I'm hoping that if this game stays somewhat tight, maybe they can revert back to who they are, which is both of them slower-paced teams. So we're going to see if we can get that. Already down to 157.5. I'm not going to be like Joe, though, and yell out the total every 4 minutes. Not going to be doing that here tonight on CNL. So 56-51, a Mount lead. Xavier will play Texas in the late game. We can only hope it's better than last night's late game. Now, last night's late game was great for us here on Carver and Lisi because we had North Carolina and we had the over, and it was a smash city special for both of those. So great shape for it. Tonight, Xavier minus the 2.5 against Texas after this game in Dayton. 151.5 is the total there. We're going to keep it simple, and that is with Dayton this evening. With Xavier in Dayton. Xavier minus the 2.5. I think they're the better team. I think that they're going to have somewhat of a home crowd. I mean, this kid on the mount just hit a 3 from the middle of nowhere. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this pace ain't going to slow down. And these kids, these two teams are just banging 3. American, 11 for 22 from 3. 11 for 22! You gotta be kidding me. Finally, a miss. Make it 11 for 23. Jeez. Miss a couple, will ya? We will go through the entire run tonight, the brackets, etc. It'll be the more focus of our show, that's for sure. Elsewhere, we have a lot of NBA. Pacers lead the Mavericks 68-57. That's at the half. Minus 14.5 live for the Pacers. Man, the Mavericks have just... You talk about mailing it in. You talk about letting go of the rope. The Mavs have just... their season is pathetic. The Rockets lead the Magic 56-52 at the half. The Rockets were a short road favorite tonight in Orlando. You've got Miami up 10 on the Pistons. Miami also has been letting go of the rope recently. Piston, let me tell you, we've caught the Pistons a few times live here. Pistons plus 3.5, plus 132 money line in the first quarter. They're only down 10. Miami sucks. They are awful. That might be one to consider here as we move forward. Pelicans and T-Wolves are going to start right now. The Knicks are in San Antonio. That starts in a moment. The Sixers and the Thunder trying to out-tank each other tonight. Well, the Thunder, we should say, they're just doing a line change, I believe. They've got a bunch of guys not playing. We know the Sixers have basically thrown everything away. Wizards and Jazz, a friends and family only special in Utah later. Cavs, who lost last night in L.A. against the Clippers, are in Sacramento against the Kings, laying 6.5 on the road. Memphis and Portland late night. Nuggets and Lakers late night. Bulls, that's tomorrow night. So Bulls in Phoenix tonight, too. So there is 4 games at 10 o'clock East or later, which everybody always loves to see. Lots of late night games. Not a bad thing either. There is hockey tonight as well, as we have only 2 games. Colorado and Toronto are tied at 1. They're early in the second period. And Seattle and Minnesota, second game of the TV doubleheader. That comes up just before 10 o'clock East, with the Wild, of course, favored at home. As far as the other live action with the NIT, George Mason crushing Samford, 45-24. Dayton at FAU tonight, and they are up 6 at the half. St. Joe's, that's Joe's buddy over there. The head coach, 44-39. They lead UAB early in the second half. North Texas and Furman's just underway. Bradley out to an 11-0 start against North Alabama. We mentioned the Anteaters are laying 7.5 later against Northern Colorado. And Loyola Chicago's laying 3.5 on the road at San Jose State. The Dons of San Fran, an 11 East tip against Utah Valley. And they are laying 6.5 in that. So you even have NIT. If you are so desired this evening, here. 10-point lead now for the Mount with just about 12 minutes left to go in the first half in Dayton, and down to 156.5. So that's a good thing, too. But you can catch American at 11.5 right now. I mean, they've been hot from 3. 11.5, they're down 13 now. A Mount's just not missing. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Carver Sands, Lisi will come back. Valspar, Copperhead, Innisbrook, last stop in Florida. Brady Cannon's with us to get the pick. Next in the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Of course, Carver sans Lisi, Joe out on assignment. You'll hear him in this time slot with Kevin, the Bracket Central, the next couple nights. It's tournament time. But even though it's tournament time, we still got golf this weekend. All right, I know everybody's involved in the brackets and the buzzer beaters and the upsets, but we keep grinding. Myself, Cam, Keith, and as always, Brady Cannon, who's with us on a Golf Wednesday radio side here on a Wednesday night. Brady, it is great to see you, as always, my man. And let me just start with, I was rooting so hard for the triple-digit J.J. Spawn last week at the Players. Jay, of course, Brady had J.J. He told us last week he was on his card. And Brady, I think what it was, I really believe if they don't get that weather delay or anything, you know, they do that playoff on Sunday night. I think he might have got him. Just how the momentum was kind of moving with both him and Rory as that thing wrapped up. But a whole night, Brady, of J.J. Spawn with his head on the pillow, knowing he's got to beat Rory in a three-hole aggregate playoff. I think it got him a little bit on those first couple holes.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And Rory was starting to leak oil. Remember, on the final hole, he had a two-putt from 75 feet. I mean, that was pretty impressive. And the last one, he left himself about a 4.5 footer and kind of rattled it home. And then JJ almost nails the putt on 18 to win in regulation. But, you know, it was kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, we didn't get the win outright, but at the same time, I was afforded the luxury of having to go into the next day where I could, okay, let's look at all the numbers here and figure out what the proper hedge is. And that's what I did. And I came out profitable. And of course, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. We had a heck of a week. All seven of my guys made the cut and five
Great
of
job.
Them finished top 20 and nearly got Spawn home. So we can only hope to be as lucky this week.
Well, Brady, let's stay hot here as we head to the final stop in Florida. Of course, Innisbrook, the Copperhead Course, the Snake Pit for the Paint Can Trophy, or the Paint Can Tournament, the Valspar over there just outside of Tampa. You've been doing this a while. You know, the golf gambling space, the Twitter, you know, the social media, how it's blown up the last few years. Have you ever, you even tweeted about it today, have you ever seen so much hubbubaloo about the AM, PM, and the weather wave as you have seen this week with this Valspar tournament?
I don't know if I have. I remember many years ago, I was able to take advantage of it and won a couple of nice bets at the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. There was a total split where the rain just came in buckets in the afternoon on Friday or something like that. And those guys were just washed out. And, you know, that was before the books had kind of caught on. Now the books, you never get head-to-head matchups, rarely anyway, especially when there's a weather divide. You don't get one guy teeing off in the morning facing off of against a guy that's teeing off in the afternoon, especially if they know there's an advantage one way or another. They typically, you know, keep the head-to-head matchups to all the guys in the morning wave against all the guys. You know, early in the week, it looked like there was going to be a distinct advantage for those guys that were teeing off early on Thursday because it was looking like it was going to blow, you know, 25, 30 miles an hour on Thursday afternoon and be close to 20 miles an hour on Friday morning. It doesn't look quite as bad now to me when I look at it. It looks like it's not, I mean, maybe you're going to get some stuff, probably some gusts in the 20s, but it looks like it's going to be for a large part of the day. Even the guys that are teeing off early, I think are going to get a couple hours worth of it. And it looks like maybe it's still going to linger on Friday afternoon to a touch where the guys teeing off late on Friday aren't going to catch that ultimate break. So I think there is an advantage still for the early guys, but I think it's a lot less than it looked like earlier in the week.
I agree with you. I don't think it's that stark anymore as it was kind of looking on Monday and how people were making it out on Monday. And it seems
like... Did you
see
some of the numbers that these books move? Crazy.
I like Willie Zetas. I liked Zalatoris coming in because of how he played last week, Brady. And even though he blew up on Saturday and it became a problem, you can tell that his game's rounding out. So Sunday night I look, and he's 25, and I'm going, You know, I don't know about 25. I don't think that's a good number for Willie. Like, he hasn't done it. And then the weather thing happens. They basically bump Willie Z from 25 to 45. They bump Connors from around 22 to 35. They bumped all these guys around. I said, hey, you know what? 45? Willie Z could play in some tough stuff. I mean, I think we could maybe get to. Now I'm in on Willie Z because I wouldn't have been at 25, but at 45. So I think it helped me, Brady, add a few guys that maybe I wasn't going to. Now, tomorrow I'm going to stay with, which I think a lot of people do anyway on first-round leaders, and you know I love them, and you dabble in them too. Like, I'm only doing guys like who are teeing off in, like, the first hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm zeroing in. Like, I, you know, Bridgman, and I CT right. Pan. Like, I've got only guys that are going out super early in the morning and hope that one of them goes real low.
I couldn't believe the adjustment. Like, out here in Las Vegas, two of the main books that I pay attention to for golf betting are Circa and the Westgate Superbook. And it looks like they adjusted the guys that are teeing off late about 10%. So if he was 40-1, they maybe moved him to 50. Or if he was, you know, 65-1, they moved him to 80-1 or something like that. But I saw some books, you know, that were going, you know, taking a guy, like doubling their prices. A guy that was 45 all of a sudden became 100 or something. I'm like, geez, it's like they're saying these guys don't have a shot. And I think there was some value created certainly on some of these guys that are teeing off late. And I think the weather's leveled off a little bit. I still think there's going to be an advantage. I've got three guys teeing off in the morning and I've got three guys teeing off tomorrow in the afternoon. And I'm okay with that. You know,
that's kind of honestly, Brady, how I split it too. I'm right in that same boat. So when we come back, we will find out who the 3 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon Brady does like. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here on a Wednesday night on the grid, Carver Sands, Lisi, Joe's out. Big show. Brady Cannon's with us right now for the Valspar picks. Coach coming up in a few minutes. We'll go through all the bracket stuff with him. Gentleman George in the last hour, so very busy. All right, Brady, 6 plays for you. You said 3 morning, 3 afternoon, and I will give you a heads up now. One of your guys, this might be the first time, I'm sure it's happened before, but in my recent, at least maybe this calendar year, that there is a guy on your card that me, you, Cam, and Keith Stewart, all of our Golf Wednesday crew here on the grid, all on the same guy. We all have him on our cards. That's a rare occurrence. We all, you know, but we all think alike, but all of us having the same guy on our card doesn't happen often. I'll let you know when you get to it.
All right. Very good. Well, I started, and I, you know this, Mike, I don't often go right to the top of the board, but I did this week. I think, you know, when I ran all my stats, this guy comes out at the very top of the board, and that's where he sits in the odds. It's Tommy Fleetwood. I think he's clearly the best player in this field. You know, can he finally get the PGA Tour victory that has been eluding him for many years? We know he's won all over the world. He just hasn't won on the tour. He's been excellent here in the past. He's finished as high as 3rd here before. He's having a great season so far. I think if he just has a very good week, he can beat everybody. Lucas Glover at 40-1. Now, Fleetwood tees off early, so I got a little lucky with that. Glover tees off late. Got him at 40-1, and I haven't seen his odds move a whole lot.
How about this? FanDuel New York, 70-1 on Lucas Glover right now.
God, crazy. I think that's a crazy number.
And now,
this guy's been around this track so many times.
I will add him at 70 right now. I'll add Lucas at 70.
Yeah, I mean, he finished 3rd at Pebble Beach. He's 3rd at last week at Sawgrass. He's having a fantastic season. He's played here literally 100 times. I mean, he's done extremely well on all the correlated courses. He's number one in this field for strokes gained approach the last 36 rounds. JT Poston, another guy that is teeing off late, did great last week at Sawgrass for us. He's like Glover. He's won at the John Deere. He's won at the Wyndham. Those are a couple of correlated courses for me. And then my other late round guy, Ben Griffin, who I've seen, you know, up to 80-1 or maybe even 100. He's, you know, had great finishes at the Wyndham, the Deer, the RSM Classic. He's had three top 10 finishes already this season. And then my other two guys that are teeing off early, Steven Yeager, got him at 65. I've seen him come down to a...
Lost Brady there for a moment. We will get Brady back in here momentarily, hopefully. So Brady will get back in the mix. Right, Chris? I think you still got me. I think we just lost Brady. So we will get Brady back cooking here. Thank you. Thank you very much, my man. Now Brady was saying there that he's like Steven Yeager. And Yeager Bombs, of course, is the guy that I was going to tell Brady. He's the guy that's on all four of our cards this week. All four of them. Brady's back with us. So go ahead, Brady. I was just saying Yeager Bombs is the guy. All four of us are on this week.
Did I get to him? I don't know where I got
cut. You were just saying it, and Coach kicked you off, so we'll blame Coach. He logged in.
Okay, so Yeager, I'm on him, and then my long bomb, triple digits, Andrew Putnam at 150-1. So the early morning tee time guys I have are Putnam, Yeager, and Fleetwood. The late wave guys I have are Glover, Poston, and Griffin.
I like it. So Yeager for me, Brady, it was just, look, the proof's in the pudding. The guy's been hanging around near the top 10 the last few weeks. And I like playing those guys, Brady, because, you know, listen, it's just like anything else. It's a consistency game. And if a guy's hitting it well, you want to just kind of get on board and move with it. I was looking, you know, they got Lucas Glover with that 70, and he's plus 200 for a top 20 in New York.
Brady. That might even be a better bet. That might be a better bet. I bet him. I did not bet any of my late guys to finish top 20. And I hadn't checked the new prices. If their prices have gotten out of whack, I might jump in. But I bet all three of my early wave guys to also finish top 20.
Brady, let's have a big week here. We're getting close, Brady. It's almost time to go down Magnolia Lane. Only a few weeks away for the Masters. So we got to get ourselves... We got to stock up here with some winners before the Masters gets around the corner. Brady Cannon with us, the Valspar, winners, baby, Yeager Bombs. Let's go. We're back after this.
Yeager Bombs. I love it.
I love the Yeager Bombs. Thanks, Brady.
You got it, man. Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Harvard Lease and Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159 on a Wednesday night on the grid. Carver Sands Lease, Joe out on assignment, as you know. And that means I get to have some solo fun, and I've got a lot of guests tonight. Of course, we just had Brady, got all the picks for the golf, and now it is rack time, baby. Tournament time, it's here. Tomorrow, I know we've got these Dayton games, which, by the way, I mean, can we slow down here? I mean, I'll tell you, and Coach Young's with us, and he's going to hang with us for a couple segments here as we go through the tournament. Coach, I'm stunned. Like, this obviously was 133 and a half. We know that was never happening. But, like, honestly, they're a buck 50 here. I mean, this thing is, I at halftime, Coach, 160 and a half. I said, they're really going to keep this pace up? Both score 80 points tonight? I guess so, Coach. I mean, what did they lower the rims there in Dayton for this game? What happened here tonight, Coach? I can't believe this game blasted. Be 50, what, 30, 40 points higher than the total, the closing total?
I mean, the closing total was 128 and a half, and I took the under, and I was just saying to you, Mike, you know, during a commercial break, every metric said under. Like, yeah. Every metric said under. So I don't blame you for jumping in and saying, all right, they're going to slow down a little bit. If you look at Mount St. Mary's, and Dickie Simpkins done a great job, take away, you know, one game they had against Bucknell, right? And then they scored 101 against Fairfield. You go into the regular season, the highest that they scored the Mount was 85. And he did it once. He scored 84 against Niagara. And the everything lined up, Mike, that this game should be half court, good defense, two teams that don't shoot the ball well. So I'm absolutely stunned that this game is still at this pace. I thought they would have slowed down. So, I mean, go figure. Two teams that can't score go to Dayton and they start scoring.
I just can't believe that, like, Mount's still hoisting up threes, up 17. Like, they were up 17. They're just yakking up threes. Like, why don't we slow the game down and get out of here and get ourselves, you know, they got to get to where's that? Where are they playing? Raleigh, right, Coach? Or Duke? They got to play Duke and Raleigh. I mean, you get to Raleigh and get your head on the pillow. Why do we need to keep banging threes up 17 here? We got unders we're trying to hit. I can't have any of it. All right, let's get, Coach, quick thought on tonight. Xavier and Texas is going to be the second game here. Last night, smash job by North Carolina. Similar number here, 3.5, 2.5 for Xavier. When you have a team like Texas that some say maybe wasn't deserving. What do you think on this game?
I have gone back and forth on this game literally since the bracket came out. And as of this morning, I was all on Xavier. And then I started digging, right? And you look at particularly, this is where you got to hope that playing in the SEC pays off, right? Texas has played better competition. I know they're 19-15. But if you kind of dive in, they were probably on the outside looking in, right? They get two wins over teams that made the tournament, right? Including a 94-89 game against Texas A&M. They almost covered the spread against Tennessee. And it's like, they're a flaky team, Mike, because before the tournament, I think they lost like 7 out of their last like 9, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at the 7 out of 9, Arkansas by 8. Vanderbilt on the road by 8. Alabama smash job. But they beat Kentucky. Lose to South Carolina, which, whatever. At Arkansas by 5. Like, they were in games. So to me, I'm going to bank on the team that's played the better schedule down the stretch, more battle-tested. I'm going to take the points with Texas.
All right, opposite sides for us, Coach. I think that Xavier's going to get the job done here. So I'm on Xavier to move on tonight. All right, let's do big picture first, Coach. We'll go region. I want to go 4 regions quickly. Give me who you think is going to win the region, and then give me one kind of, you know, a little middle of the odds, you know, maybe dark horse that you think maybe could make some noise in each one. Let's start with the South, Coach. We'll do South first, because, of course, in the South, you've got Auburn as the number one overall seed. They're -105 to win the region. Who do you like coming out of that region, and who do you think could maybe be sleepy?
Well, Iowa State is a team I am going to go right off the beaten path. Because of, you know, if Jones and Gilbert and that team is healthy, TJ Oshenberger, as you well know, does a great job, and their team is better offensively than they have been in the past. I'm not a big believer in Michigan State. That's why I think you get out of that region. But the sleeper team, we got to say it, it's Carolina.
Yeah.
What they did to Brian Dutcher, I've not seen anybody do that. Now, by the way, can we stop? And I know I talked to a boy you say at one point. Can we stop with this Mountain West Conference, please? Every year we pump up this conference, and they get absolutely get run over every year.
Whacked.
So whacked.
Completely whacked.
Yeah, so Carolina's the team I would watch out for. And I think the top half of the draw, if Creighton wins, they're the type of team that if they handle pressure, I think they could give Auburn fits. Particularly if they go through Kalkbrenner, who Jani Broome is not a strong defender, and that 7'1 wingspan, right, 7'1 height, 4-time defending Big East Defensive Player of the Year. I think Creighton is going to give Auburn a hell of a battle in round number 2 if they get by Louisville.
Yeah, look, I before they won last night, I took Carolina to make the Sweet 16 at +650. Because we see this every year, Coach. The team that everybody says shouldn't be there ends up winning not just one game. They end up winning a couple of games. And
like VCU.
You got guys as talented as Davis. And look, he's not going to go 6-for-6 from 3 every night. But you got a player like that, you know, you can go far. So that's why I got a little nibble there with Carolina. Now you said Iowa State you think is going to come out of the South. You got Iowa State for the South. West, Florida the favorite, Texas Tech the second choice, St. John's. Texas Tech and St. John's right with each other. And then it gets a little bit deeper after that. Who do you got?
It's hard to go against Slick Rick. He's got a team that is in his mold, right, Mike? If you really think about it, what do they have? They have a really good guard play with Smith. We see how he comes back with the injury, right? Because I think he had a shoulder injury towards the end of the Big East tournament, end of the season too. Simeon Walter, right? Obviously, R.J. Lewis and what he has done elevating his game since coming from UMass. And then there's Kadari Richmond, the Swiss Army knife from Brooklyn. But Zubi Echefor has really become such a great story. A guy that was backing up Joel Soriano. Soriano's done, and Echefor just stepped up his game. Mike, they got guard play, they rebound. They're the best defensive team in the country according to defensive efficiency, so the metrics say so. And their Achilles heel is shooting the ball from three, 32%. I think I've said it to you on air with Pharrell. Last two teams to shoot under 33% from three and make the NCAA Final Four, Louisville, coached by Rick Pitino. But I think this is also the region where there's going to be some crazy stuff. I think Drake could take out Missouri. I think Grand Canyon could take out Maryland in a close game. Colorado State is red hot, and Memphis does some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen offensively. They're completely out of control. So Memphis can go to the Sweet 16, or they can lose in the first round by 10. And then there's UConn. Caravan, Yara, Johnson, if they step up their play with Ball and McNeely, Florida's going to have a tough spot for the B in the round 32.
See you, Coach, like in the other two regions, and we'll get go over some of these games Thursday and Friday. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, Series XM 159. Back with Coach Young after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio.
You're good now.
So I'm sweating this out. That live 160 and a half under for American and Mount, it looked blown out of the water with 4 or 5 minutes to go. It looked like it had no shot. It's 83-72 with 45.8 left. Mount's on the line because American stupidly fouled him. And I guess this is the second free throw coming up here, Coach. So he missed the first one. Missed them both. He missed them both, Coach. How about that?
I think you're good. Honestly, at this point, the most you're going to get is if American fouls and sends Mount to the line and he makes two, then they're going to turn around and hit a three. That's 5 points. The most you're looking at right now is 160. The worst case scenario is you hit by the hook. But now, I think you're good.
Even if the Americans got the ball here, they're inbound and underneath the basket. If they get a rebound right now and miss and Mount gets the rebound, they better not foul again that with 30 seconds and down 11. They better not, Coach. Now they're hoisting up some threes. He missed it. Yeah. Get the board. All right, Mount got the board. They're calling him off, Coach. They're calling. He waved him off.
Nicely done.
I don't know if I deserve. You know what? I did deserve that, Coach. The cap was right. They weren't getting a 160. After 132 and a half. No shot. Mm-hmm. All right, I feel good about that one.
Shout out to Dwayne Dickie Simpkins. Nice win for Dickie Simpkins. He's done a nice job over there. Hey, over there.
I told Pharrell this afternoon when we were talking about this game. I said, I like them when the MAC teams come out. Look at how much success. Iona, et cetera. Mount won the MAC this year. I always like going with the MAC team if they throw them in this game. So, nice job by Mount, who, of course, didn't they win this game a few years ago when they came out of the NEC? They were in the NEC at that point, and now they've won a game out of the MAC, so nice job. Duke is where they're headed next. God bless and good luck. But Duke, of course, Coach, is a big favorite. And what I thought about this bracket was, it's almost like they said, we want Duke to play Alabama, and we're going to make sure that Duke plays Alabama. We're not going to put much resistance anywhere else in the region. Now, I think there's some fun games this week, in these first round games in this region. But any real resistance for Duke or Alabama, I don't see it.
Well, first off, I was wrong. Donnie Lynn is the coach at Mount St. Mary's. Dickie Simpkins is the coach at American, but still a good win by Coach Lynn and his team. When you look at this region, I looked at it as, first things first, the top half of the draw is so damn underwhelming. Mississippi State overachieving the SEC. We'll get smashed by Duke. Baylor, people talk about disappointing seasons. Coach Drew's team, not a typical team of his, underwhelming. You could say Liberty could beat Oregon, because I don't know how Oregon's a 5 seed. And with Arizona, we don't know which Caleb Love you're going to get. They're going to lose by Akron. So top half of the draw, easy. Bottom half of the draw, I agree. I think the 2-7 game is intriguing, Carver High, because of you're looking at St. Mary's, who's a completely different style than Alabama. If they get by Vanderbilt, slow the game down. So that should be interesting. But there's interesting markets you could play. One of them I looked at on FanDuel was teams to make the Sweet 16. And it's minus 130 for Wisconsin to make the Sweet 16. I think VCU takes out BYU. I think it's a tough match for BYU. So there's a nice little thing you can find. Good markets on FanDuel. Make the Elite Eight. You know, make the Sweet 16. You pick the right team, you can find the plus money.
And for nutcases like me and Joe, they let you parlay
them.
Which is nutcases like us, they allow that. So me and Joe last night, of course, we'll take this one and that one and this one and that one. So Coach, I actually tried to build a couple Duke tickets, some Duke Final Four tickets, by putting some of these other things with it and try to move. But I'm with you on this, Coach. I think the winner of the VCU-BYU game, and I love these two teams, and it bothers the hell out of me that the committee put them playing each other in the first round because I thought both could be a problem. Whoever wins that game, I think, will beat Wisconsin. And I think the Grizz are going to cover that huge number against Wisconsin in the first game. That's 17.5. I like Montana.
I'll tell you right now, Carver, the way they shot Sunday against Michigan, anything's possible. I mean, you and I could have played their guards, including Tanji, in a game of horse, and I would have put money on us. We would have been minus money.
Midwest, who do you think goes to the Final Four? And give me a long shot. That's Houston's region.
That's Houston. I mean, the way they defend, and they're dialed in. Gonzaga's going to be an interesting spot here, right? Because of the scoring, but Houston should be able to lock them down. I was all in on McNeese State, and then the Will Wade news dropped, and I'm like, is that going to be a distraction? And you then know, I came back a... with the, like, but then I came back with Mike. He's totally transparent. He probably told the kids when he interviewed, which you never hear a coach tell a kid, "Hey, I'm interviewing for this job," right? So
right.
Interesting. And then High Point Purdue, I expect this game to go over. If you want to play it a little bit safer, I like actually High Point to go over 72.5 points. Their offense is really, really good, and Purdue's defense is poor. If they just don't turn the ball over, High Point can score at least 73 points against a bad defensive Purdue team.
I'm on High Point to beat him, Coach. I know that that's also becoming a very popular pick. I'm tired of 5-12s, Coach. Everybody's on 5-12s now. I'm done. 13-4.
Yep.
13-4 is the new 5-12. I think that's where we get the spice here for some of these. All right. We've got a bunch of games. Here's what we're going to do, Coach, because I got like 5 minutes left in the hour when we come back from this break. When we come back, Coach is going to finish the hour with us, and he's going to give us which games he likes the most. You know, just give me a couple games, Coach, that you got your eye on here. Thursday. We'll just do Thursday, Coach. Anything that sticks out to you, that's something that you want to get involved with. I might throw one or two that I really like at you and see what you think. But we're getting ready. The madness is here. Coach Young is here. And Coach will be on the early portion on Thursday with Ben. Am I right about that, Coach? That's the early portion, the start of the tournament, Louisville and Creighton to get things cooking and those early games. And he will lead into then me and Pharrell doing the later afternoon. Here on the grid. Barbara Lee from Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Coach Young's with us. Tournament starts tomorrow. Let's go. Coach, give me a couple games on Thursday that are going to be on your card that you like a lot.
Let's do the three games that I'm going to have while I'm on air right off the bat. Creighton plus 2.5 versus Louisville. I think this is a tight game. Both teams top 40 offensive defensive efficiency. Biggest difference, effective field goal percentage offense of Creighton. The three-point shooting percentage of Creighton. Kyle Brenner in the middle. I talked about high point already, over 72.5 points. And then the other one, SIU Edwardsville under 48.5 points. If you look at Houston, number 2 in defensive efficiency, number 4 in effective field goal percentage defense. SIU Edwardsville, 255, 272. And if you look closely at Houston, they don't give up 50 points to non-conference opponents. Houston puts them in jail under 48.5 points.
Coach, I was looking at the under for the game, and that's probably the better way to play it, is going the under just straight on Edwardsville, because I was actually thinking Houston could score 80, and this game could stay under 125, 126.5. So I think it's dead under game.
And if you think about this, Carver, really quick, non-Power 5 teams that they've played this year, Jackson State 40, Louisiana 45, Hofstra 44, 51 and above, 42 Troy, 49 Toledo. Like,
wow.
They're going to make a statement early on.
They're in trouble. Next, everybody seems to think, because of what happened last year with Yale, that they're just an automatic cover against Texas A&M. I don't believe that, Coach. I think that Buzz showed them the highlights from that game like 600 times this week, and he's going to have his Aggies ready for everything that Yale does differently than everyone else. And I think they're going to smash them.
See, this is where we're going to go against each other. I'm taking the 7.5 points, and it's going to be based off of one thing. Can Yale keep A&M off the glass? If this becomes a throw the ball at the rim and go get it, no chance in hell Yale covers. But I think this game's going to be close. And because it's 7.5 and it's a three-possession game, that's why I'm looking at it, a Yale plus the points.
Where do you stand on this hotly contested, quote-unquote, Joes versus Pros, UC San Diego-Michigan game late night?
You know, Michigan is so flaky. A lot of people are going UCSD. I'm going to go the other way. I think Michigan finds a way to win that game. The line is so low that you just straight money line it. And if Michigan gets off to a slow start, I think they steal. The problem you have with Michigan is Golden and Danny Wolf are 7-footers. They're huge. And I don't think UC San Diego has seen a team like that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Michigan to pull out the win. On the money line, provided I can still get it under minus 150.
I'm taking Michigan too, Coach. Who's going to face Patino in round 2? Is it Calipari or is it Self?
It should be Self.
I agree.
And I just can't trust Cal. I just can't trust Cal because he's done such a horrific job with this team and just got to get everybody out of the portal. I think Kansas wins, and I think Kansas plays St. John's, and St. John's wins, but it will be an absolute war.
I love Mick Cronin, Coach, but he has told us all year in his press conferences that his team is soft. He's told us time and time again, my team's soft. And I love fading the Mountain West because they never show up. But that's a big number now. 5.5 this is reached out to for UCLA. I don't know if I can trust them.
I can't. That team has been so bad and so wildly inconsistent that there's no way I could take Mick's team right now. No matter what he says or tries to say, I'm taking a 5.5 points with Utah State. I'm taking a chance here.
The more bombs that I like, Coach, are on Friday. Like, I like Grand Canyon against Maryland. I like Zips against Arizona. There's more bomb plays for me on Friday than there is on Thursday, other than High Point. I like High Point a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely some big opportunities for some major upsets on Friday. You know, obviously, you look at Colorado State, I think they went outright. What happens with Vanderbilt, St. Mary's? Carolina probably gets the win. Grand Canyon probably covers the spread. And then a New Mexico Marquette game is going to be interesting because we don't know what game's going to get. And I like Akron plus the 14.5 versus Arizona.
Coach, we'll see you at noon East Thursday with Ben for the start of the madness here on Sports Grid. Coach James Young, Auburn Leafs, that will do next after this.